Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Enough! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton. If you guys have questions for John, text him in right now to 710-710. Try to get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
Well, after we spoke yesterday, just shortly afterwards, the news came out that Quentin Dunbar is off the market. He signs a one-year deal with the Detroit Lions. So what do you think in terms of the Seahawks' next move? It's not a huge crop of cornerbacks out there. I mean, Richard Sherman's still there. I don't know if that becomes more or less realistic or doesn't change at all. What do you think they do?
I wonder if they go for Breshad Breeland because he does fit what they're looking for. You know, certainly you can look at a former Charger as a candidate. That could be one that they can look at. You know, again, because what you're seeing is that I don't know what Dunbar ended up getting. My guess is it was probably less than 175, and maybe it's the minimum because a lot of these most recent cornerback deals have been minimum. Desmond Trufant got the minimum, and a lot of the others are doing the same. So it's not big money, but I think they, you know, for the little money that's going to be, they need to bring somebody in.
Wait, veteran minimum, is it $1,050,000?
No, veteran. Well, it depends on your status. I mean, the lower end is 990, and then once you get up to about 8 years, it's about 1.075. Mm-hmm. But there's also exceptions based on the way that you've played, your history and that. I mean, there's some people that were able to get base salaries and signing bonuses over $2 million, and they count at the minimum. And again, the minimum for right now for like a Breeland, I mean, I don't know if he's got enough time to get the 107.5, but it would count 850 against the cap, and more than likely than not, they might give him a 137.5 signing bonus.
Hey, John, we were talking about, you know, would Pete bring him back? And we're talking about Richard Sherman. I feel like Pete has always been okay. And I thought the worst thing, I mean, it wasn't Earl Thomas flipping him off. I thought it wasn't Michael Bennett saying about, you know, reading books during meetings. It was Marshawn not getting on the bus, going to a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he still brought him back years later,
right?
A few years later. So, I mean, if there's any kind of movement with Richard Sherman, any kind of talk of him coming back to the Seahawks, it's certainly not going to be because Pete doesn't want to have him back, it seems like, because he pretty much puts up with everything.
True.
So, I mean, I feel like it would be much more on Sherm's side. But do you get that feeling?
When these deals happen, the money when they come back isn't really good. I mean, in other words, we'll give you the opportunity to come back. We'll give you the opportunity to try to play, but, you know, you're going to get, you know, less than $2 million. I mean, Marshawn came back and was able to come back late in that season, but, you know, he got minimum salary. I mean, and you can look at even, you know, all the Alex Collins. He got minimum salary. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is going to be, is Richard Sherman willing to play for less than $2 million? And you question that. I question it, at least.
Well, you think he's going to find a job somewhere in the NFL where they're paying him more than minimum? The longer it goes, I guess.
Yeah, longer it goes. No, he's not. Hmm. I mean, you know, he can probably get more money in the broadcast business. He might get more money in the podcast business. But, you know, seriously, it's like that's the way it is. But I still think he loves the game of football. I think he wants to play football. I think it would be great for the Seahawks if they were able to bring him back. But right now, I'm not optimistic.
Do you think if he gets a podcast or something, he's going to start telling everybody what he really thinks?
No, he already got a podcast.
Oh, wait, he's already told everybody that.
Yeah, he's
there are no secrets there.
What's his podcast called?
I don't know.
Keeping it 100.
Huh?
I'm joking.
It 100. Well, apparently John doesn't listen to it because he doesn't know the name of it. I'm looking it up
Oh, that's only because I don't have time for the podcast.
Well, I know you don't. You're too busy with your databases.
Exactly.
You know, listen to podcasts.
John, somebody texting in about a name I had heard when he was released and hadn't heard anything about him. Casey Hayward, is he still out
Casey
there?
Casey Hayward, that's the Charger I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Is he still available?
That is correct.
So how come he hasn't been picked up yet? I know he's, probably 30 years old, 31?
Yeah. But that's, I mean, part of it is just the price. I mean, a lot of guys haven't been picked up. I mean, they may have been offered, but they've not been picked up. I mean, I counted still, there's about over 200 free agents that are still out there. But a lot of times it's like, okay, I'm not going to play for that amount of money. You notice there's no talk of Earl Thomas. And so, you know, it's what the price is. And right now the price, unfortunately, isn't right.
Earl Thomas, I just don't see any way he's back, John. I mean,
no, I don't either.
And the thing is, I think the last, you know, the final straw was there were players that were not for having him back.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damning.
That is. Know. That's not good.
Yeah.
It's strange considering where he was at in his career physically. I mean, he may not have been ascending anymore, but he was far from a guy you looked at and said, man, he's a shell of what he used to be. Right? He was still
he's still
guy you looked at and felt like, man, he's still a very effective safety out there. And the idea that he'd burn bridges enough to where nobody wanted to touch him, that's pretty interesting.
It's only 31.
Yeah, I know. Wow. And safeties can go to maybe they're 34, 35 years old.
Yeah. Well, and that's usually where they move corners when they, they lose a step, right? So, hey, you know, I've talked a little bit about this, but Cody Barton, as far as a trade, I mean, if it's a for a draft choice, are you even going to get back what you took him in? He was a third rounder.
No.
I mean, yeah. It would have to be for a player. It would have to be for some need that they have somewhere else, you know, where you find a team that really needs a linebacker that they think can start in the NFL, and then, you know, you get in return, whether it's a center or something like that. But what do you think the chances are that happens?
None.
Zero.
I mean, again, that's like why do you want to give away, you know, the guy that at least for a couple of years can hold down the strong side linebacker position? I mean, if
I would say, you know, assuming that they bring back KJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you're loaded at linebacker, really, depth-wise, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with that.
You're right. I should have prefaced it that way. But, you know, if they do sign back KJ, but then, you know, I mean, it just seems like he's kind of rotting away on the bench if you bring back KJ.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, there's always been with this team a waiting game sometimes for the third year to be able to get the opportunity to play because the team was so talented. Yeah. And, you know, you saw cornerbacks go through that. You saw wide receivers go through that. I mean, it's just one of those things when you've got enough talent, you stay with the starters as long as you can. And then once they get to the age, and that's why, you know, like John Snyder and every GM takes the position that it's like, okay, I'm looking at everything in 3 years. In 3 years, you know, KJ won't be, this is like 3 years ago. KJ may or may not be there. We've got Cody Barton. I mean, you have to plan ahead like that and make sure that you're not stuck like the 49ers were, although they came out of it okay, where they had their top four cornerbacks all unsigned going into free agency. It cost them Witherspoon, but they were able to get Jason Verrett back. They were able to get Kawan Williams back, and that was a big break. And then Richard Sherman knew he wasn't coming back.
Hey, John, we played a cut from Carlos Dunlap, who met with the media earlier, and he says he spoke to Russell before he signed his deal, and Russell assured him he's going to be here. He's here to stay. These are the words of Dunlap. How much stock do you put into that particular conversation? Do you look at it and say, well, is that a for now conversation, or do you believe that he's being honest and, hey, I'm here for the long run?
No, I mean, he's here for this year. I'm sure of that, and I'm sure that's what it is. I mean, right now with the situation with Russell, and again, people keep overdoing it, thinking there's something really wrong right now. And again, maybe there is. If this team doesn't go to the Super Bowl and Russell gets upset about it, there's a different story next year as far as, you know, what might happen with Russell. But again, with the $39 million cap charge on trading him, he was not going to be traded this year because the Seahawks were not going to concede this season. They're a 12-win team that's trying to build on talent, not go into a 2 to 3 year rebuilding process, which they would have done with Russell Wilson. And so honestly, I mean, I give Russell credit for being quiet. I mean, he's tweeted out twice that he certainly liked getting Gabe Jackson. He really tweeted out getting the Tyler Lockett contract. You know, he makes the statement to Carlos that he's going to be here. And so, and what's he doing this week after, you know, being down and, you know, watching the women's NCAA tournament to see his sister play? He's supposed to be assembling some of the guys down, I don't know if it's in San Diego or in some part of California, Southern California, to get them starting their minds ready for football.
Warren Moon was on the Huddle and Flow podcast, and he was talking about Russell and the Seahawks. He's got a different view of how things are going to go. Take a listen, and we'll get your reaction.
The marriage is not going to end very well going down the road. I think this squabble is going to turn into more of a separation and then a divorce at some point. And that usually happens with most players anyway. You just don't like it to happen because of, you know, the two sides not getting along. But when a player plays one place probably 10 years or more, there's a good opportunity that he's probably not going to finish his career there.
What do you think, John?
I don't agree. I mean, again, it's, I think certainly there's a strain. I mean, you feel the strain in Green Bay, even worse with Aaron Rodgers. But the difference is Aaron wants to stay there. In the case of Russell, okay, you know, he was upset about some things. They took care of it. They spent $108 million so far this year on offense compared to only $71 million on defense. And so they've given him more offense and more offensive line blocking and more things of that nature. And I think that, you know, his mind not may not be perfect, but, you know, just like he's done in the past, it's like, okay, it's football time now. I've got to start concentrating on football. And so the first thing is to assemble the guys like he did. Didn't do it last year, but in past years, and start to get them ready, throw to DK Metcalf, throw to Tyler Lockett, you know, start to bond as a team. And then, you know, you get back, 19th's going to be OTAs. And so that starts off. And so the team can get together. And I think right now things are fine.
Well, Dunlap sure answered a question that we've been kind of posing, and that's that these veterans that are signing, these free agent signings, they want to know that the quarterback is going to be there. They want to know that they have the opportunity. And that's where, you know, there was some question as to whether or not Russell was, you know, a good recruiter because, you know, he's kind of putting doubt out there. But it seems like, you know, if it's a veteran player, everybody has somebody else's number and they're able to, you know, reach out and find out. It's not like they're going to, you know, sit there in the dark going, gee, I wonder if Russell's going to be. Most of the NFL, it seems like you just text him and find out.
Yeah.
But that really was important to Carlos Dunlap, and you know that's something that we've been talking about for a while here.
Yeah, and that's why I think the story's so overdone. It's like, okay, Russell wanted I don't know where he stood on Brian Schottenheimer, but he wanted an offensive coach that you know, can get a little bit of an updated system as far as moving around and running the football and all that. They got him that. You know, they got him a $6 million tight end. They got him an $11 million guard. You know, they did all those things. They got Chris Carson back. They paid Tyler Lockett to a point now where you can see, particularly if they need to put the franchise tag on Metcalf, that they're all going to be together at least through the end of this contract for Russell Wilson.
If you guys have questions for John, text them in. 710-710 is the text number. This one from the 509 for the professor. Who might be a good fit for the Seahawks backup quarterback?
I mean, I'm fine with Geno Smith. I mean, that's one. You know,
you think they'll bring him back?
Very well could. I mean, you notice, I mean, he signed 2 years minimum salary, and so it's like there's no rush right now. I think that you can look to see, you know, they've got Alex Magoo. I know he's had an off-the-field incident, but, you know, I liked when we saw him when he was here before. You know, he's going to be a candidate. You got Danny Etling. I mean, he's going to be a candidate, but I don't think there's an urgency right now to get that, and you know, I think they're fine, and you know, they're not going to trade for one, that's for sure.
You know, of all the quarterback names, Joe Montana, you know, Tom Brady, Alex Magoo.
What did he do? He got in trouble off the field.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had some I don't know, some kind of an assault issue. I don't know if it was in a bar or whatever it was, but you know, he's got an issue like that. It's one that wasn't major, it seemed like, but again, he had an incident.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to make light of it, but a quarterback that has an assault charge, I mean, that's rare.
Dave likes that.
It means he got in a fight. He got in a fight. No,
well, the Seahawks have had a couple quarterbacks that have been in that.
Well, yeah, there might be one, recently. Hey, John, a couple of stupid questions about last night. I was so bothered last night by number one, Gonzaga. And then, you know, you turn over to the Mariners, and they got pantsed. It was just very discouraging. Did you watch? Somebody asked, Professor, should the national championship game be best out of three?
No.
It's ridiculous.
No. Come on. This is not pro sports, right? These are colleges. And it's like you're going to keep them out of class to go best out of three. And particularly after a long tournament like this. I mean,
quarantined, right?
Yeah. I mean, six or seven games? I mean, come on. What more do you need?
Yeah.
Well, then that's what makes it great, the immediacy of it.
Right.
I mean, you win, you move on, you lose, it's over. That's what makes it so compelling.
Sudden death.
Well, John, if they played 10 games, how many would Gonzaga win? What did you think about the game?
They were terrible from the beginning. But I mean, the big thing I saw, because after a while, I was like, okay, this is not going to work, particularly when they're down 12 points that early, and then we're down as many as 16, is that one, they couldn't buy a offensive rebound. I mean, all the offensive rebounds, and all the rebounds pretty much went to Baylor, and then Baylor's defense really stepped up and caused them problems. I mean, it's almost like when you watch the Super Bowl and you see Tampa Bay change their defense to a zone, and the Kansas City Chiefs couldn't do anything.
All right, John. And then, you know, that left me so discouraged afterwards, that and the Mariner game. I had to turn to Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And did Pat watch Jeopardy and Aaron Rodgers?
No, she was intent on watching the basketball game.
All right. Well, tell Pat.
Now, again, it's on tape, so.
Okay. Well, tell Pat. I want her reaction. I thought Aaron Rodgers was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was pretty smooth. I think it's a difficult task running that show. I think we talked about this yesterday. One of the guys didn't know the final answer, so he wrote down, why did they kick that field goal?
Mm-hmm.
It was funny the second time, even though I saw it before. That was good stuff. But I thought he did a good job, so make sure you
Watch tonight.
I'm very curious to see what Pat's review is.
Yeah, because, again, she's not a big Aaron Rodgers fan.
Right. And I'm not either.
Well, maybe he wins her over with
this. I'm a big Jeopardy fan, so maybe.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how that
goes. I would guess he did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Dave says he did.
Yeah. I thought he was pretty smooth. Considering, like I said, it's a difficult job as far as, you know, reacting right away. No, that's wrong. You know, and then they got the judges coming in every once in a while. I don't know. I thought it was well done.
Hey, John, a couple people texting in about Gardner Minshew saying bring him in as the backup here in Seattle. But I'm guessing he wants to be a starter somewhere. Does he land somewhere as a starter? Or what does his future look like?
He's running out of options. He's kind of like Cam Newton right now because – yeah, I'm wondering now with them shopping around with Teddy Bridgewater, if he ends up going to Denver in some kind of a Brock Osweiler type of deal. And what I mean by a Brock Osweiler type of deal, remember, I mean, he wasn't very good in Denver, and the Texans made the mistake of giving him a 4-year, $72 million contract. Absolutely horrible. All right. And so then what happens was that, they wanted to trade him because he was so bad. And to get the trade going, you know, they had to pay some of the guarantees because he had $37 million of guarantees. You know, they had to give up a second round pick, an extra second round pick. And I think they traded for a fourth. And then a sixth. It was a sixth in 1 year and a second round pick the next year to Cleveland. And then Cleveland only had to give up a fourth round compensatory pick because they wanted to dump his contract. And here's Teddy Bridgewater on a 3-year, $63 million contract. And they've got $10 million of base guaranteed this year. So if I'm Carolina, I'd trade him to a team like Denver, pay most of the $10 million in a guarantee, and then he's got $8 million that he can make as a player this year, and then he can cut him next year if they don't like him. Hmm. But again, George, the reason I bring up Denver is that George Payton was involved in drafting him at Minnesota.
And that's the new GM.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So, I just always pull for John Elway because it's just weird that he's such a great quarterback and just can't get a good quarterback in there. Other than Peyton Manning. And your boy Tim Tebow.
Oh,
I'm joking.
I still remember watching on the sidelines, Elway just not fuming, but seeing how bad Tebow was. Because if you ever watch Tebow even in practice, I mean, he'll throw a screen pass that'll take five bounces to get to the pass catcher. I mean, if you throw a screen pass to the a running back, it's almost like it's waiting to grab a ball on a kickoff return that's bouncing. That's how bad it was. And of course, Tebow was so popular in that 8-8 season where they went to the playoffs and won a game that he was becoming more popular than John Elway.
That was one of the most amazing things. You know, having spent 3 years there, you realize the adoration for John Elway.
Oh, yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, Tim Tebow kind of was rivaling him. Like, people were putting up, billboards. Start Tebow. Yeah. Jeez. Unbelievable.
It was bad.
Yeah. John, it doesn't – boy, the more this goes on, and I know we talk about it almost every day, but – now there's two women that have sued quarterback Deshaun Watson. They're detailing experiences now. Different experiences. Then the NFL is getting involved. Roger Goodell. They're going to take this really seriously. I mean, if this, you know, we don't want to push the button earlier, but it's starting to look worse and worse and less likely that Deshaun Watson plays next year.
Too early to say. I mean, it doesn't look good, that's for sure, because now you've got two that went in public and were emotional today. They're talking to the police. You know, the league's going to take the position. It's like, okay, this is serious. We're looking at it. We're investigating it. But they're not going to do anything until they find out what the police are going to do.
John, quickly reading that the Falcons are open to moving out of that number four pick in the draft coming up here. What do you think they get for it? And if they do trade it, who's the team that moves up? Obviously, probably you would think to take a quarterback.
Well, it could be Detroit. Outside chance of Denver. Could be New England. I laugh at this because of the Russell Wilson thing. Maybe Chicago, but then Chicago sitting with a 20th pick. You're not going to go from the fourth pick in the draft to 20. But in a year like this, where there's so much similarity with hardly any defensive players that are going to go in the first round and only two that may go in the top 13, there's a lot of similarity. It's like, okay, I can justify trading down. Now, you know, I think they like Penny Sewell. But you know, they could trade down and get the second best tackle and get some value there, because technically they don't really need they do need one, because unfortunately University of Washington, you know, gave him McGrady and he's not done well. He's their weakest link on the offensive line. So I can actually see that there can be some kind of a deal that could work out for them and they still can come out of it okay.
John, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, the Astros hate is spreading across the country, and it is delightful. We're going to talk about it next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up at the top of the hour, El Hombre. Michael Bradley will join us on the program, so stay tuned for that. That's Can't Miss Radio right there. Meanwhile, I was reading this and saw some clips of this last night. It was one of the few things that was joyful last night in sports, because Gonzaga was not, the Mariners were not, but this was. And that was the hate for the Houston Astros that is spreading around the league. I think it's already spread. I think it's waiting. I think every city is waiting. They're looking at their schedule going, when do those clowns come to town? When do the cheaters come to town? Okay, I'm getting my ticket. I'm getting my props.
And just for the fans right now, Lefko, please look to your right. When do the Houston Astros come in?
Friday, April 16th. Here Saturday and Sunday.
All right.
I'm counting on Mariner fans to do their best, to live up to the standards set by other cities and exceed it. That's what I'm counting on. I know they've got it in them. Angels, they were playing the Angels, and Angels fans brought a life-size inflatable trash can, tossed it onto the field.
Where do you get that?
I don't know. I didn't even. What a weird thing to have an inflatable version of.
Why would you have an inflatable garbage can? It had to have been for this. That's a good enterprise right there. If you could manufacture something that people can take into the stadium, which I don't know if you had it deflated. That was a pretty big garbage can.
Yeah, I liked it.
You'd have to have like a pump or a lot of people with big lungs. So yeah, that would be a good business.
Yeah, I would imagine they would be out in front of the stadiums everywhere when the Astros are in town, selling them. Probably comes in a little tiny bag that you could slip into your back pocket or something, and then you bring it in there and you blow it up. And they were doing that last night. And I love Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker, I think, is a great manager. I think he's a great guy. He knows baseball. Have all the respect in the world for him. I didn't like his comments after the game. And it's again, trying to play the role of a victim. And he wasn't even part of this whole thing. He just had to take over because of the managers being fired and those that were involved. He says, how many in the stands have never done anything wrong in their life? We paid the price for it. How many people have not cheated on a test or whatever at some point in time? I mean, it's easy if you live in glass houses, but I don't think anybody lives in glass houses. Come on, man. That is about as tone deaf as it gets. I'm sorry. It just is. You paid the price. Who did? The manager? The GM? How about the players? Any of them pay a price? No. Nope. Not a fine. Not a suspension. not a slap on the wrist, not a bad boy, go sit in the corner, not even a scolding, nothing. What do you mean you paid the price? That's what drives me nuts. If they were, you know, just sort of contrite, kind of came out and said, listen, man, fans are going to do what they do, and I understand it. They could just leave it there. But, you know, Carlos Correa or Baker, you know, Correa with the, you know, hey, it's getting old or we're tired of it, whatever he had to say. And Baker, you know, hey, you know, how much, you know, we paid the price for it. How many have never done anything wrong? I'm not buying the victim thing. I don't think it plays well. I think it only serves to agitate those that are already agitated.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with Dusty Baker on the, you know, from the standpoint of, yeah, people make mistakes. But it just seemed like they never really wore it. You know, they were sort of defiant about it.
Yeah, Bregman's chuckling and smiling about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think just the best thing you can possibly do is just get through it. Just put your head down, and people will eventually get tired, I guess, and it'll eventually go away. But as long as there's Danny O'Neill's in this world, I guess Danny said he would compare himself to the guy in – remember the guy in Denver who had the suspenders and a barrel?
The barrel, yeah.
Barrel guy?
I got the cut here where Danny says, I will become the trash can man.
This makes me more interested in going out and heckling them. In fact, you remember Bill the Barrel Man? Like, he would wear a barrel in Denver. He would dress up in games, and I don't think he had a shirt on, but he would wear a barrel. I could become the trash can man. And I will dress up as and like have my legs sticking out of the bottom of one of those big Rubbermaid trash cans, and I'll wear my trash can around when the Houston Astros are in town, and then and we'll have a sign on that encourages people to slam the side of the trash can with whatever implement they might have.
Danny's walking through the stadium being beaten to death. With
well, two things:
people slamming into him as a trash can.
Number one is Danny won't be wearing any underwear,
Ew. And
then he will be banging the garbage can himself.
Mm.
Yeah. Those two things would happen with Danny. I wonder how you get some of these things in.
I don't know if you could get that in now.
Yeah, the inflatable garbage can that I'm looking at, the one that was down on the field, what was it, in Los Angeles?
Anaheim, yeah.
In Anaheim. That's a lot of air. I don't know how you, I mean, without a pump.
You go to work, you sit down, prepare to be lightheaded.
Pass out.
Prepare to be lightheaded. See what kind of capacity you've got in those lungs of yours. Because those things, I've seen them. Not trash cans, but different inflatable objects, and they fold up into a really small package you could put in your back pocket. I'm assuming that's how they got it in. I don't think they walked in with it or allowed them to, you know, this big inflatable can, and they walked through the gates with it. I'm assuming it was stowed somewhere, and then they took it out and went to work.
It's too bad. I mean, it's too bad you can't, because even you get the inflatable one in there, it still doesn't make the noise. You need the noise. That's really what it was all about.
How would you get noise in there of a trash can? Could you
bring a garbage can in there, man? Maybe, you know, I saw somebody, it looked like they took one of the garbage cans from, you know, the aisle or whatever and threw it down there on the field. And I guess you could bang that. But the one that they had in Houston, it sounded like just your old-fashioned galvanized tin.
Metal one, right?
Garbage can. Yeah.
That makes a loud noise.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me anyway. So, yeah, we're going to have some fun with this. But, yeah, Dusty Baker, I mean, he wasn't part of it, right? I mean, he kind of came in afterwards, and he's probably seeing these guys, you know, be like you said, a little bit of contrition would have been nice from these guys and just, you know, apologize and then just know that you got to wear it. But saying, hey, we've been through enough, really bad.
Yeah,
bad way to handle it.
The victim part doesn't work. It'd be different if last year was a regular season, 162 games, and they went out and they 81 road games, and they just took it from everybody, every city they went to. And then you start this year and it's going on. I could buy into somebody going, okay, listen, we heard it all last year, the entire season. It's enough. Even then, I wouldn't recommend saying that because I think it's just going to egg people on. But I would understand it more. Hearing somebody like Carlos Correa say it last year, when nothing had happened, they hadn't been faced with anything, and him saying, oh, I'm kind of tired of it. What are you talking about? What are you tired of? You're tired of it being a storyline? Sorry. Sorry about that. We're sorry you guys did what you did, and it's a massive storyline. You cheated. You cheated. You won a World Series that year. You cheated.
I wonder, you know, what the policy is on the networks that are carrying them. I mean, are they trying to get away from that? I wonder, because,
you mean like showing the trash can in the outfield or whatever? Or?
It was like last year in the NFL with coaches without masks on. I mean, the guy in the truck could easily put a different camera on. So, you know, if there's cameras going on, I wonder if Major League Baseball is trying to get through this and get past it and maybe, start to not see, some of the things that are happening. But, I mean, when somebody chucks a garbage can on the field and then play has to be stopped, you kind of have to pay attention to it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right. They could go the way of
like streakers.
Fans that run on the field where they've been trained. All right, don't highlight it. We don't want to encourage people
to do it. Which is nonsense.
Yeah.
Especially when you have Kevin Harlan, who can do play-by-play.
He could do it. He makes it funny. Everybody else should be tased. But as far as the trash can thing and any sort of heckling or signs, I saw some pictures of some creative signs like, hey, I made this great sign, but I was afraid to take it out because I thought the Astros would steal it. Stealing the sign. They pretty creative things there that they were bringing in. I don't think anybody's had an opportunity to get sick of it yet. I don't think it's become a problem yet. You're four games into a season, three games, whatever it's been for them. But, if this is the halfway point, okay. You want to say you want to, remove the focus from it. All right. But right now, nobody had a chance to react last year. This is everybody's first opportunity to vent, if you will.
So let them get it out of their system.
Yeah. And if you're on the Astros, I would just recommend you just keep quiet. Say, hey, fans paid their admission. They can do what they want to do. I get it. And then move on. All right. Speaking of the Astros, there's one person out there that we've heard from doesn't care for all of that heckling. And we'll hear a little bit from Aaron Rodgers as well when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
It's a sad, situation for America to me. When you hear things, I mean, what are the kids supposed to think in the stands? Or, and some of them are kids, they're following their parents. And it's sad to me, like I said, people make mistakes. And, we paid for ours, and, we say leave it alone.
It's Dusty Baker.
Not yet, you haven't.
Jeez. Dusty, it's a teaching moment for the kids in the stands. The parents can lean down and say, see, son or daughter, this is what happens when you cheat. There's a price when you're caught. So if you're going to do it, you better hope it's worth it. Because this is what they're going to face in each and every city they travel to. And son or daughter, it's deserved. They have not paid the price yet. This is how it works.
Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, I get what he's trying to say is that... we're making it all about pointing out this negative thing that happened and what about the kids and everything. But I think it's kind of funny, too. I'm still at the point where, and I know it's immature of me, but one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time were the A's fans cheering and laughing.
Oh, when Correa got plunked?
They got beaned. Am I saying beaned, beaned, plunked? What?
Yeah, either.
What's those the same?
Yeah.
What about in the head?
What about in the head?
I heard that beaning is like hitting a guy in the head.
Oh.
Plunking is anywhere else.
I've never heard it. I've been beaned before. I've been called, hey, you got beaned by that guy, but I got hit in the arm or whatever. I never thought it was cranium specific.
In eighth grade, Beanball Byron was his nickname. That's what ruined my baseball career.
Yeah.
It beaned me. Right in the ribs.
The whole victim thing is making, and don't use the kids as a prop. Stop that, Dusty. You're better than that. What about the kids? Stop that right now.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I hate that when people try to bring in for some cause, especially if it's like some political thing or something, they try to bring kids in who are innocent victims in the whole thing. They haven't formed an opinion yet. Yeah, that's really low.
Well, that's using them to get yourself out of hot water, to take the heat off of you. Think of the kids and stop picking on us. Come on. I love you, Dusty. I do. I love Dusty so much. But he's completely tone deaf in this whole thing.
Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect.
Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy. So did you see that moment yesterday?
Sure did. Yep, and it was the guy who was a returning champion. He was actually bald, and there was a category in the beginning called bald men or something like that. And he goes, yeah, I'll start off with bald men.
Did he dominate that category?
Yeah. But you know what I would say to Aaron? I would say, well, if you'd have run it on third down like you should have, he would have gotten to at least the one-yard line, if not scored. Now, I always say this when people say that. Once a defense reacts and they're like a swarm of hornets,
they close in pretty quick.
It's not as easy as it looks.
The first down was, I don't remember the down and distance.
I think it was end goal, and they were, you know, like I said, he had a chance to get it down to like the 2 yard line. So I feel like if it was like the 2 or the 1, you know, which probably 3, but where he ended up throwing it away, I think, and it was
yeah,
like 8 yards.
Yeah, then they go for the
out.
Field goal.
But yeah, that was kind of on him. But again, going back to Jeopardy, I thought he did a really good job. I think everybody's doing it for 2 weeks. I don't know who else is on the schedule as far as who are the guest hosts.
Wasn't the guy that's like the all-time winner?
Ken Jennings.
Did he do it or he's
going to
do it?
I think he's going to. Actually, he's not the all-time winner anymore, at least
cash. Oh, he's not?
Well, I think he has the longest streak, but the cash guy was the guy that we had on. He became like a celebrity, and I can't remember his name, but he was the one.
Holzhauser guy?
Holzhauser, thank you.
Is he the one people got mad at because they didn't like how he played?
Yeah, because he would take the 1,000 ones, you know, on the bottom. He would start at the bottom and try to get as much cash as he could. So then when he hit a daily double, he would go true daily double. So if he would have like $4,000, true daily double, get 8,000. You know, and then in double Jeopardy, you know, he would get, like, he'd have these insurmountable leads, like 50,000 to, you know, 2,000, 3,000.
Why is that bad? Is there Jeopardy etiquette?
Breaks the
no,
system.
No, there isn't.
Well, we had some Jeopardy on Jeopardy crime last night. I'm glad you brought up Jennings and Holzhauser because.
Wait,
they
what
were
did
tweeting.
You just say? Jeopardy on Jeopardy,
on Jeopardy crime?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait to hear this.
So here's a tweet. Last night, Holzhauser watching the national championship, and he said, I wish they'd stop giving automatic bids these small conference champs that can't compete with the big boys. Ken Jennings comes in and just destroys him and says, a 30-plus game win streak and then a shocking loss? You should love these guys.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
So Jennings and Holzhauser are going at it.
Is that Holzhauser guy going to host? Is he one of the guys?
I think some of them already had, right?
I don't know. You know, Ken Jennings always came off as kind of arrogant. We interviewed Holzhauser.
Is he from here? Or
yes.
From around
Jennings? In Seattle, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he still lives here.
I heard a rumor that he kind of tweaked Alex Trebek a little bit. And then, you know, the Holzhauser guy, we had him on for some reason. I can't remember why. I remember me and Jim and Danny interviewing him. I think he had something to do with odds, or he was a gambling guy. I'm sure that's – I mean, we're not supposed to talk about that, you know. So I don't know. I don't remember why we had him on. Anyway, yeah, he was a decent enough guy.
I didn't realize there was Jeopardy etiquette, that what he was doing was frowned upon. I thought you just go out and try to dominate everything
You try to win, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But I'm not a watcher.
People just didn't like that, and it's not typically how it goes, but really you're hunting around the board for the daily double. That was his whole thing. But his first thing was, hey, but you know, either way, if you go about it that way where you're going for the $1,000, $2,000 questions, you still got to get the answer.
Yeah.
And he was good at it.
This guy's a freak athletically, and I mean, he's got the all the tools from a physical standpoint to be an elite quarterback in the NFL. Now, all the other things, the biggest question I have is the question that everybody would have would be, how the hell are you not a captain? Like, that's a concern. This isn't Jay Cutler, is it? And the same thing, Josh Rosen was supposed to be good, but we knew when talking to some of the coaches on that staff that he certainly wasn't the answer. I'm not getting that take from the people that I know around that BYU program. However, it's always a concern when your starting quarterback's not a cap.
I feel like that's the scene out of what was the movie with Kevin Costner? Was it Draft Day?
Draft Day.
And they were talking about the kid and how come nobody went to his party. I feel like it's one of those scenarios. I don't know. Do you put anything into that, the fact that he wasn't a captain? I guess you look at every single detail when you're going to make an investment like that.
Well, you know, and it's funny. People were saying, well, now we're dismissing that nonsense about not, you know, taking a lineman like Penei Sewell at number 2. But this guy's he's not guaranteed to make it. Zach Wilson, I mean, we talk about this all the time, that just because, you know, they trade away Sam Darnold, that doesn't mean they have their answer either with Zach Wilson. But this guy, there's not a 100% guaranteed. I mean, we may 5 years from now look back and go, man, they should have taken that tackle from Oregon. Mm. But, you know, now they don't have a quarterback.
Or Mac Jones.
Yeah, or Mac. Maybe it's Mac Jones. You know, somebody was calling him the next Joe Montana.
You never know. I mean, you know, none of them know.
It's funny. It goes from unathletic, will never make it in the NFL. This is the range. To Joe Montana.
Yeah, it's all or nothing.
Yeah, like, you know, won most Super Bowls, whatever. it's crazy.
All or nothing.
The kid's fun to watch, though.
And Mac
you
Jones?
Know, here, no. Well, oh, I mean, Zach he was Wilson. Good. He was good, but Zach Wilson, as far as like, you know, the throws that he makes, you know, some of those throws that he make, you know, who else makes those kinds of throws?
Mahomes and Wilson.
Well, and Sam Darnold, he's made those.
No,
kinds
he
of,
doesn't.
Yeah, he's made one of those ridiculous throws. There's a
maybe one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you find a couple of those, and that's what we found. You know, on his pro day, he was making one of those ridiculous throws, and everybody goes, "Ooh, look at the shiny new toy!"
All right. This happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up, it is that time. El Hombre, Michael Bradley, joining us next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.